Coming to you live from the international headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff. Our ministry exists to provide answers to you, to give proof of Jesus Christ as our hope of eternal life, because truth matters. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I tweeted today, and when I did, I talked about Oliver Thomas, who is a member of USA Today's Board of Contributors, and wrote in today's The Forum, again in USA Today. And his contention is that God has not spoken when it comes to hell. In the article, he says, most Americans still believe in hell, and ask these folks why they cling to such a decidedly medieval notion. And by the way, I called him a Presbyterian minister in my tweet. He's actually a Baptist minister. But again, he says, ask these folks why they cling to such a decidedly medieval notion, and they will tell you, because the Bible teaches it. Well, then what does he go on to do? He goes on to say overtly that the Bible doesn't teach this dogma. We've misunderstood Jesus, and on top of that, and this is precisely what he says, nowhere in the Hebrew Bible, in the Christian Old Testament, is the abode of the dead described as a place of eternal punishment. Well, obviously, anyone who's read the New Testament knows that's not true. Think Daniel chapter 12, where Daniel says, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. So here's a Baptist minister writing for USA Today who seemingly hasn't even read the New Testament correctly and doesn't know much about the Old Testament in general. Not only so, but he goes on to say, why should we worship a God like that? A God that sends people to hell. And perhaps more important, what kind of people and consequently a nation does that make us? In other words, for him, hell is a pernicious idea. In fact, so pernicious that he says in this article, no person is as sick as a person who is sick on bad religion. And bad religion means believing in hell. Well, I take issue with what he said. I can think of some really sick things. Like, for example, Ted Bundy, who confessed to over 30 murderers. He was interviewed about his gruesome activities, and he responds with frightening words. And some of these words were written directly to a victim. In fact, he was writing to a victim when he said, I learned that all moral judgments are value judgments. All value judgments are subjective. Now, we who believe that God has spoken, that the Bible is divine, we don't believe that moral values or value judgments are subjective. But Ted Bundy did. He says he discovered to become truly free, truly unfettered, he had to become truly uninhibited, and quickly discovered that the greatest obstacle to his freedom consists in the insupportable value judgment that I was bound to respect the rights of others. Now, again, this is not a guy sick on religion. This is a guy sick on atheism, philosophical naturalism, subjectivism. I asked myself, who were these others? Other human beings with human rights? Why is it more wrong to kill a human animal than any other animal? Is your life more to you than a hog's life to a hog? Why should I be willing to sacrifice my pleasure for the one rather than for the other? Surely you would not, in this age of scientific enlightenment, writes Bundy, declare that God or nature has marked some pleasures as moral or good and others as immoral or bad. Let me assure you, he says to his victim, a young lady, let me assure you, young lady, that there is absolutely no comparison between the pleasure I might take in eating ham and the pleasure I anticipate in raping and murdering you. That is the honest conclusion to what my education has led me to. Again, Ted Bundy writing to one of his victims. And you have this Oliver Thomas saying, as a Baptist minister, that somehow or other, no person is as sick as a person who is sick on bad religion, and bad religion means believing in hell. Well, truthfully, Jesus taught that there was a hell. And he taught that there was a hell in unmistakable terms. I actually wrote about this in my book, Resurrection. Jesus did not mince words when he talked about hell. He talked about hell in all kinds of different ways. For example, in his Sermon on the Mount, he warned his followers about the dangers of hell a half dozen or more times. And he used hyperbole to drive home the urgency of his message. If your right eye causes you to sin, he said, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. In the Olivet Discourse, and who could forget this? And by the way, Oliver Buzz Thomas actually cites Matthew 25. And this passage clearly has Jesus saying they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And I can go on and on about this, Luke chapter 16. And certainly the words of the Apostle Paul, where he said, the wicked will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. The plain reading of shut out from the presence of the Lord implies continued existence. And this is the thing. We believe in hell because we believe in choice. God is not a cosmic rapist that forces us to follow him. He gives us the ability to choose to follow him or to reject him. And he ratifies that choice. That's what hell is. It is eternal separation from his goodness and his grace and his love. And that is a torment. Of course, completely lost on Oliver Buzz Thomas. He takes torment, the torment of being separated from the goodness and grace of God, and turns it into torture, and uses his parenting skills as an example, and the great parenting skills of his wife as an example, and then contrasts that with the bad idea of a God who would send people to hell. Again, has God spoken? The answer is yes, God has spoken. The Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, and we must know how to answer the attendant question, what has God said? That's what I wrote about in my book, Has God Spoken, which is now available to our constituency. The elegant tapestry serves as an eternal evidence for the divine authorship. The tapestry of Scripture is a divine composite of surpassing brilliance and of beauty. It is simply incredible that this exquisite masterpiece is fashioned from 66 books written by 40 different human authors in three different languages over a period of 1,500 years on thousands of different subjects, and yet is unified and consistent throughout. How's that possible? The individual writers had no idea that their message would eventually be assembled into one book, and yet each work fits perfectly into place with a unique purpose as a synergistic component of an elegant masterpiece. The synergistic harmony of the Bible is a powerful testimony. It's an enduring reminder that God has spoken, that these are His very words. The elegant tapestry of the text, added to eyewitness testimony of its authors, is surpassingly powerful internal evidence to its absolute and irrevocable trustworthiness. Has God spoken? The answer, yes. Proof of the Bible's divine inspiration. Again, the book, Has God Spoken?, now available to our constituents. For your support to the ministry, I'll send you Has God Spoken? This month. And for those that give $100 or more, I'll send you a personalized copy of Has God Spoken? Or if you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. I know I got to go to our callers, but I do want to read a testimony because I got so excited when I saw this particular testimony because it's an example of a person who doesn't have great means but is doing what they can. They're supporting us as a monthly Bible Answer Man support team member, $15 a month. And this person is writing to me. Dawn is her name, and she's saying, "How exciting. Please rush me, Has God Spoken? Just reread the Apocalypse Code. Oh, Mr. Hanegraaff, God bless you for your ministry. God saved me from a life of alcoholism. Just took the compulsion away. Before I was even convinced He was real, He took the compulsion away. I listen to the broadcast every day. Actually, it is the high point of my day. I learn so much. When I first began, I almost got sucked into the Word of Faith movement, watching the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Never could buy the teaching I heard, particularly on Revelation. It just seemed wrong. I must say, I had to throw out a few books and CDs since I started listening to you teach the clear Word of God. So needless to say, I'm greatly excited to read your latest offering. I am so grateful for your ministry. Thank you. You are a very important voice in an evil age. I wish I could contribute more," she adds in a P.S. This letter includes my monthly donation of $15. And let me tell you something. There are a lot of people that give $15 or $25 or $50 a month that form a foundation for this ministry. And without you, this ministry wouldn't be possible. This voice would be silenced. I'm never going to be politically correct. And because of that, it's a tough row to hoe. It's just difficult. But my belief is that the moment I become politically correct, I start like a politician telling people what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. I start compromising or fudging around the issues. The moment that happens, there's no need for the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Journal. So we tell it like it is and let the chips fall where they may. And I might mention this on tomorrow's broadcast, but there are quote-unquote evangelical leaders who have taken real big pot shots at this ministry, particularly after I had William Dembski on and his book, The End of Christianity, completely distorting the message of the book and our broadcasts. And when I say completely, that's taking something and turning it completely on its head, having me say exactly the opposite of what I really said. And the same with William Dembski. And in that regard, and again, I may talk about this on tomorrow's broadcast, I may not, I don't know yet. But in that regard, you have, quote unquote, an evangelical leader who has distorted the truth. I believe that the fall was responsible for all sin. In other words, because of the fall, death came into the world. Natural death, moral death, all of the evils came into the world as a result of the fall. That truth was distorted. I'll be right back with your questions.
The Apocalypse Code audiobook is now available from the Christian Research Institute. Hank Hanegraaff reads the entire unabridged audiobook on MP3 CD. The Apocalypse Code will give you a better understanding of the end times, but will also teach you how to read the Bible for all it's worth. It will show you the key to understanding the book of Revelation is found in the rest of Scripture. Order the Apocalypse Code audiobook on MP3 CD or MP3 download directly from our website at equip.org. Just go to equip.org/audiobooks. Don't change the station. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Hank Hanegraaff's cover article reveals the key to unlocking messianic prophecy. A common objection to Christianity is that the New Testament takes Old Testament prophecies out of context in applying them to Jesus Christ. The answer lies squarely in understanding the role of typological prophecy in the Bible. Douglas Grotheis's summary critique of Rob Bell's controversial book Love Wins exposes the inconsistencies of Bell's ideas and his misinterpretation of Scripture in a way that is direct yet winsome. Other topics include a review of Todd Burpo's book, Heaven is for Real, What is the Unpardonable Sin?, the insightful Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. Christian Research Institute, August is definitely a valley month financially, and every gift from God's people is a special blessing. Please prayerfully consider sending a gift to the ministry this month so we can continue broadcasting in your area. To say thank you for your support, we'd like to send you Hank's newest book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Hank poured his life into this book. His desire is for you to have assurance in the reliability of God's Word, because truth matters. Like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. To donate to the Christian Research Institute and receive Has God Spoken, simply call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right to our callers. First up, Joel, listening on Bot Radio, Fresno, California. Hi, Joel.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I want to ask you a question about Luke 16 and about the rich man and Lazarus.
Yeah.
On 24, when he says if he could, when he's tormented in the flame, is that a metaphor or is he really in pain?
No, this is a metaphor with sharp teeth. It points to a graphic reality, and the graphic reality is the torment of being apart from God's goodness and His grace. If you took this as literal fire, then you would say that the fire would point to annihilation, because fire consumes. So we know that it is everlasting torment. And so it's not as though you're annihilated or consumed, but you are everlastingly in torment. And this is variously described in the Scripture. Sometimes it is, as in Jude 13, blackest darkness forever. These are all graphic metaphors with sharp teeth pointing to the reality of being in torment, not as Oliver Buzz Thomas said in USA Today, some kind of torture. No, that's not what it has to do with at all. What it has to do with is the torment of being separated from the goodness and grace of God because you don't want a relationship with Him.
It speaks about the flames, too, in Isaiah 66:24 and Mark 9:44.
Yeah.
And, okay, on this one, on 24, on Luke, and he tells him about dipping his tip of his finger in the water to cool down his mouth. That sounds like he's in pain.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it is the torment of being. In other words, again, this is a metaphor pointing to a graphic reality. If I say it's raining cats and dogs, the metaphor points to a graphic reality. It is raining hard. In the same way, fire, you can imagine from an earthly perspective what it would be if you were burned. It's one of the most horrendous pains and torments you can imagine. So that metaphor is used to point to a far more ghastly and graphic reality. And that is being separated from the goodness and grace of God. Again, we do not want to take this metaphor and make it walk on all fours. Otherwise, we'll fall into the error of annihilationism, because flames obviously consume.
Can I ask you two more questions?
Quickly.
Another one in this one, and same in Luke. When Abraham was talking to him, was he there with him? Talking to him?
Well, in this particular story, the story is about being in Abraham's bosom or paradise. So Jesus is talking about a situation where you have a rich man that dies and a beggar Lazarus who lies by his gate. He too dies. The one had everything in this life, the other nothing in this life, and then the roles are reversed in eternity. And so you have the rich man in torment and Lazarus in Abraham's bosom or paradise. Abraham's bosom or paradise is a metaphor, right?
Yes.
It's a metaphor which points to being in the presence of God. So Jesus is using the metaphor and the language to talk about the reality of separation from God for all eternity and the importance to not postpone repentance until it's too late. And that's why, as the story goes on, you have Lazarus waiting too late. The rich man paying attention to Lazarus too late and perceiving the unbridgeable chasm between heaven and hell too late and purposing to preach to his brothers too late. He heeds the testimony of the law and the prophets too late. He postpones repentance until too late. So that's the point that's being driven across by the story that Jesus Christ is telling here.
I want to ask you one more about John, when Jesus cried, did his first miracle with the wine.
Yep.
And when the king said he brought the best, the best for last, was that an unalcohol wine?
No, it was. Wine has alcohol. The alcohol content would have been less in the wine that was used in that day, but it would still have been alcohol.
Okay, some say that there is good, bad alcohol, bad wine, and good wine. Like the good wine is the one without the alcohol.
Well, wine has, by its very nature, alcohol. And remember that the Bible speaks about wine in the sense that we shouldn't have too much wine, just as we shouldn't be gluttons.
As long as you don't abuse it.
Right. You don't want to overeat and you don't want to overdrink.
No.
Because if you overdrink, then you're in an altered state of consciousness. And if you overeat, you destroy the temple of the Lord as well. So you want to make sure that you're a good steward of both the metaphysical aspect of your humanity as well as the physical aspect of your humanity. I've written on hell in great detail in my book, Resurrection. Available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Let's go right back to our phone calls. Richard next, listening on Sirius XM 131 in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how you doing, sir? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Well, on the prior phone call, you kind of answered the question I was going to ask, so I had to move to a secondary question.
Okay.
And that was, what is your take on predestination?
Well, all Christians believe in predestination because the Bible teaches predestination, simple as that. And the debate in the Christian community is not whether God predestines, but the basis on which he predestines. There are some Christians that say that God predestines based on his foreknowledge, so he looks down the corridor of time, sees what you will do, and chooses you on that basis. Other people say that, no, God predestines for his own unique sovereign purposes and predilections. So, again, the debate is on what basis does God predestine? And that is a pretty robust debate within the Christian community.
So you would say it's an in-house debate?
Well, it is an in-house debate. Yeah, we can debate it vigorously. Ultimately, it's not a deal-breaker, but it is a very important debate because there are people who believe in libertarian freedom and there are people who believe in compatibilistic or circumstantial freedom. And those are very significant differences, and therefore they should require our utmost attention. And this is all part of learning to read the Bible for all it's worth, because if you do, then you can come to a true valuation of things on issues like this.
Definitely. Okay, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Mark, listening on KARI, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Hank. my question is about Christian morality in non-Western countries. I've heard it said before that in Western countries, the freedoms we have and is all built on the DNA of the Bible, and that we have our Christian heritage to thank for all the freedoms and things we enjoy here, and the fact that we're so civilized is a result of that. And I'm wondering how to answer when people bring up countries such as Japan, for example, which is a very, very civilized country, but in the East and without any kind of Christian heritage. How do we answer that?
Well, there are a couple of things that you can say. Truly, we know that everyone, no matter where they live in the world, in what culture they find themselves, is without excuse. The reason is God has not only given us an external witness, the heavens declaring the glory of God, but also an internal witness, which is to say, God has written a knowledge of himself upon the tablet of our consciousness, and therefore we as human beings are without excuse. We can't say, well, I didn't know any better. We have that knowledge written on our hearts, and therefore we are culpable for the knowledge we have. But it is also true that biblical values, a biblical worldview, dramatically change the world. And we can see right now in the West, where we stand in the shadow of the Bible as opposed to standing in the light of the Bible. And as a result of that, many of the values that we once held to are quickly being eroded. And we're looking at the rise and fall of a civilization that rose and now is declining rapidly. Now, we can't say that it is axiomatic that the civilization will decline. We can't look at the stock market drop today of over 600 points and say, well, because of that, we're doomed. The end has come. No, we don't know, because there can be times of revival as well. But right now, many of the freedoms, many of the dignities that women used to have in the West are being eroded substantially as a result of standing outside of the light of the Bible, in the shadow of the Bible. Never forget that it was the application of biblical principles that caused Western women to be the most powerful women on the planet. Women who were considered ontologically equal to men. And therefore, men could no longer treat them as they were treated in other civilizations. Think India, for example, where you could burn a woman on a funeral pyre because the moment a man died, she had no value. Her value was associated to that of a man. So she was the chattel of a man. That was true even in first century Judaism. A woman was on the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder. It is biblical principles that turned the tide there. So the fact is, biblical principles and their application make all the difference in the world. But that is not to say that someone in Japan or someone in another culture that's involved in animism or ancestor worship or some kind of world religion that doesn't correspond to reality is in a state of having an excuse. No, they don't have an excuse, because the law is written upon the tablet of their consciousness.
So they've just been acting out in their society what they already instinctively know, even though they don't have a Christian heritage. Is that correct?
Yes. Objective morals and values exist, and everyone, whether Christian or pagan, has access to these objective morals and values.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. That answers my question.
Yeah, good. Thank you so much for your call. We are coming to a station break. Do you remember the book, Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, all this month for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Just address your letter again to Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271 for your gift. We'll send you Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, 3 years in the making. It's the crowning jewel of my writing career. It's something I'm passionate about. I want to put it in your hands. You can also order with our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. I'll be right back with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
The Christian Research Institute's website, equip.org, is loaded with free resources you can download anytime. Do a keyword search and find a host of articles on your topic. Listen to a 3-minute Ask Hank program, watch videos, order books, or stream the Bible Answer Man broadcast right on your computer. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or connect with us by signing up for our e-newsletter. If you're looking for a place to sharpen your discernment skills, log on to equip.org today. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will be right back.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what?
Dogs.
If cats get together, they produce what?
Cats.
But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. And author Rob Bell is a phenomenon hard to avoid. His best-selling books and his popular Pneuma video series have made him an attractive figure for many Christians during the past 6 or 7 years. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, Douglas Grotheis addresses Bell's controversial book Love Wins in a relentless summary critique entitled Love Wins, Making a Contradictory Case for Universalism. Grotheis shows the inconsistencies of Bell's ideas and his misinterpretation of Scripture in a way that is direct yet winsome. Gain a better grasp of historic Christian orthodoxy concerning the afterlife when you start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And, of course, we've been talking about hell in the first couple of segments of this broadcast. And Rob Bell's book, Love Wins, has been very popular. But if you have any discernment, you can quickly understand that Rob Bell is not trafficking in truth in his book. For example, he cites Martin Luther, one of the leaders of the Protestant Reformation, in a letter to Hans von Rechtenberg in 1522, and he's there writing about the possibility that God could turn, or people could turn to God after death, asking, who would doubt God's ability to do that? And so he now uses the icon of the Reformation as supporting his particular predilection that, in fact, you could have salvation after death. You could turn to God after death. And, of course, if Rob Bell is right, everybody in the history of the church since Luther has missed Luther's meaning. And of course, if you go to the very letter that Rob Bell cites, the very next few sentences clarify that Rob Bell is distorting Luther. And that's why no one actually believes what Rob Bell says if you actually read the details. Martin Luther says, no one, however, can prove that he does do this. Otherwise, every sermon, the gospel, and faith would be vain, false, and deceptive, since the entire gospel makes faith necessary. So, again, Rob Bell is simply distorting Martin Luther just as he distorts the Word of God. Unfortunately, people fall for the skin of the truth, stuffed with a lie, and that's why we've written about this in the Christian Research Journal. Let's go right back to the phone lines, talk to Dan on the web in Pennsylvania. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Hank. I appreciate you taking my call.
Pleasure.
And I just popped on here. I usually listen a day afterwards on the podcast when it comes out. So I just found out you guys are talking about Rob Bell's book and hell. And I had a question. You know, the Apostles' Creed is a very popular creed. A lot of churches mention. I know that creedal statements are very powerful. I've always wondered if the expression where it talks about Christ descending into hell, and I want to know, is there scriptural evidence for that?
No, there isn't.
In the Apostles' Creed.
No, there isn't at all. And remember that phrase did not even appear in the Apostles' Creed until the 4th century.
Really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And I think that there's a real problem here in terms of interpretation, which is to say that there was oftentimes confusion between Sheol, the Hebrew word, and Hades, the Greek word. They're synonymous, which both point to the abode of the dead. Gehenna is more specifically referring to the garbage dump outside the walls of Jerusalem as a metaphor for hell and the torment of being eternally separated from the goodness and grace of God. So it would credibly be said he descended into Hades in the sense that he went to the abode of the dead. But to say that he went to hell probably is a misunderstanding of the difference between Hades and Gehenna. But beyond that, there's no real heresy in saying that. The only heresy comes with the Word of Faith teaching where they say that Jesus Christ had to finish the work of redemption in hell, which is clearly not true because Jesus finished the work of redemption on the cross.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I appreciate it. You've answered my question. And I also want to say the Quip.org site has been helpful. We had some recent Jehovah's Witnesses come by, and I stood there, and I listened to you all the time, and I was like, gosh, how in the world do I explain that Christ is God the Father? And I was like, man, this is hard. The only thing I could think of was John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and of course they had their comeback for that. But equip.org, I got a lot of information from Hebrews, parallel passages talking about Christ in Hebrews, and then in the Psalms, it's the same exact passage, but it's talking about God the Father. So I'm hoping they'll come back and I'll be able to show them that. But that kind of caught me off guard. It challenged me as a Christian growing up in a church to say, you know what, I really, you know, here I am faced with this person, and I can only think of one scripture offhand that proves that Christ is Jehovah. So it really has been a blessing, the website, as you have a lot of stuff on there, so I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for your call. I think you probably misspoke when you said Christ is God the Father, right? You didn't mean to say that.
Well, they believe that, don't they believe that Jesus is not Jehovah God?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. They believe that God created Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ became a junior partner in the creation of all other things. As you've correctly stated, however, Jesus Christ is God, and John 1 points to that emphatically. But there are a lot of ones that point to that emphatically. You can look at Hebrews 1, as you pointed out, Colossians 1, Revelation 1. There are many passages that clearly point to Jesus Christ as God. But as Christians, we hold to one God who is revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, which is to say one God in terms of nature or essence, three in person. And there's an equivocation on the word person in that what we mean by person is identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead.
Okay. Okay. All right. So the term, as far as Christ being God's son, would you say that is a relational aspect?
Yeah.
Instead of one is greater than the rest.
There is a sense in which God the Father is greater than God the Son. In the incarnation, Jesus Christ voluntarily took on the limitations of humanity without divesting himself of a single attribute of deity. So when he speaks from the perspective of his humanity, he can say that the Father is greater than I, not ontologically, not in terms of nature or essence, but certainly in terms of role, because Jesus takes on the form of a servant in the incarnation.
Oh, that makes sense, because that was the one scripture that they use, and I think they base it all around Christ saying that the Father is greater than I. So.
Well, I
appreciate that.
Yeah, what I appreciate about this conversation is what you're underscoring is the eye-opener of having a Jehovah's Witness on your doorstep and recognizing, wow, I need to prepare myself, equip myself if I'm really going to be a force to be reckoned with from a biblical standpoint in the worldview of ideas, in the world of ideas where you have to have exchange, give and take. You've got to know what the Bible says.
Yeah, and I said, oh, listen, I'm not going to slam this door in your face because I want to know what you give me your literature. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to do my research. That's a whole another issue, the interpretation of that verse where Christians feel, I guess, they can slam the door in their face and not let them in their homes.
Yeah, exactly.
But thank you so much. I appreciate your ministry.
Hey, thanks, Dan. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone line. We'll talk to Lewis next. He's listening in Houston, Texas. Hi, Lewis.
Hi, Mr. Hank Hanegraaff. How are you?
I'm good.
That's great. I had a question in regards to when I was 13, I got saved and baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've been going to this Pentecostal church, and they said I had to be baptized in Christ's name. And I got scared, and I did it. And they said the only way to go to heaven is if you speak in tongues and have the Holy Spirit in you. So I'm nervous. I don't know if I'm going to the right church or anything like that. And they said there's no word called the Trinity in the Bible. So I'm just kind of confused as to what I'm doing.
Yeah, well, first of all, you're an occultic movement, and their error is one that starts with another error. The belief that one must be baptized only in the name of Jesus leads these people to the further error that Jesus is himself the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they don't hold to one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, but rather to three manifestations of one God revealed in Jesus. And they also think that the doctrine of the Trinity is pagan polytheistic philosophy. In truth, the word Trinity isn't in the Bible, but that's not the point. A Trinity is a word that's used to codify something that is in the Bible. And what is in the Bible is that there's only one God. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me, says the God of the Old Testament, which is the God of the Bible. And then you also have, as you read through Scripture, the certainty that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And they're not three manifestations of one God, but they are three persons within the Godhead. In other words, the personal distinctions are eternal distinctions. The Father never becomes the Son, and the Son never becomes the Holy Spirit, but that is precisely what they believe. Not only that, but as you've pointed out, they hold to many legalistic prescriptions, including the test of rebaptism by their formula with evidence of speaking in tongues. No tongues, no salvation. And that has placed tremendous socio-psychological pressure on adherence to conjure up the gift of tongues, because those who do not speak in tongues are thought to be lacking in faith or even entirely unrepentant.
Yeah, and that's where I came in, because I got baptized and I don't speak in tongues, so I was like, I'm scared that I'm not going to heaven.
Well, you're going to heaven if you believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you realize you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then you're going to heaven, because your salvation is not based on our fickle feelings, but rather on His certain promise.
Okay. Should I stay in that church? Or
No, absolutely. Do not stay in that church. Find a healthy, well-balanced church. In fact, stay on the line, and let's talk some more once we get off the air. I'll have someone pick up and speak to you in just a moment. Here's the deal. I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but there's so many people calling in. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. So if you're hanging on, I know a lot of you have been hanging on for a long time. Please be patient. I will get to you. And if you're dialing in during the next hour, here's the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Again, I'll be taking your calls right here for the next hour, so please be patient. If you're hanging on, I'll try to get to you as soon as possible. And then for those dialing in during the next hour, I'll try to get to you as well. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Remember, has God spoken? Proof of the Bible's divine inspiration. It's the culmination of my writing career. It is here. It's available for your gift to the ministry. Get it today. It'll make a difference in your life as you are always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you.
Thanks for joining us today for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to help you understand complex Bible passages, to help you grow closer to God, and to equip you to defend the faith in our culture. And part of that commitment is to offer resources to you that will accomplish that. So contact us today. Call toll-free 888-7000-CRI. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Nancy Piercy addresses how the flawed worldview of secularism fails to explain human life and experience, how the hookup culture falls short of its promised liberation, and why biblical morality is not arbitrary in her article, Sex, Lies, and Secularism. William Dembski's article, Old Earth Creationism and the Fall, answers how Adam's sin could be responsible for the natural evil, including animal suffering and death, that preceded the fall. Other topics include a summary critique of Sam Harris's The Moral Landscape, What the Walking Dead Can Teach Pro-Lifers, a review of the film The Tree of Life, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.